Well, I see everybody survived Thanksgiving. Even though some of you are turkeys, you're still here. We're glad. Yeah, thank you. A while back, I was in getting my hair cut, and I heard two gentlemen talking, and the one was asking the other one about Christmas and asked him if he celebrated Christmas. He said, well, I'm really a Catholic, but I don't really practice Catholicism, and I go to church maybe occasionally on Easter, but I don't really practice it that much. But he said, I guess I'm a Christian because I celebrate Christmas. And then the other young man, he said that he was brought up Catholic, but his family, as a teenager, had converted to Judaism, but now they don't practice either of them. And he said, so I guess maybe I'm not a Christian, but I still celebrate Christmas. And it just got my attention that Christmas to them doesn't really mean anything important other than partying and presents. That's really what it means to them. They put up a tree and they celebrate Christmas, but it doesn't have any true meaning. I actually sat in the chair and I just prayed, like, Lord, will you just open their eyes and reveal to them you? For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking here at Christ Church for the next three Sundays about let us adore him. Today, I want to start out by thinking about this phrase, oh, come let us. Oh, come let us adore him. These two young men, they really don't understand what Christmas means. To them, it means, oh, come let us put up Christmas trees. Oh, come let us buy presents. Oh, come let us go on Amazon for Black Friday. I actually heard somebody call it Black Thanksgiving. Oh, come let us go to parties. Oh, come let us sing songs that don't really mean anything to us. It's, oh, come let us celebrate trees and tinsel. And here's the deal about this. I don't think we should be contentious. Honestly, I don't think we should be contentious about people who don't understand or fully get the point of the Christmas season. I don't think we should be angry at people when we're checking out and somebody says, happy holidays. It's not a happy holiday. It's a Merry Christmas. I mean, that's really not the point behind this either. You know what I'm talking about? I don't think that we should be dismayed or get up in arms because some company didn't put a snowflake on our coffee cup and so they must not like Christmas.
Thank you.
You know? I don't think we need to declare a war on anybody, but however, I do have to say that I find it a little bit amusing, maybe a little bit distressing that our society celebrates and managed to give Christmas presents away, and yet they miss the point of Christmas. They really miss what it's all about. It's interesting. This was a survey from National Religious Broadcasters. And they monitored seasonal programming during the month of December. Only 3% of seasonal programming in the month of December focuses on Jesus. 97% of it belongs to Frosty and Rudolph and the Grinch and whoever else. Dave Barry is a musician and an author, and he wrote these words. So just bear with me as I kind of read a little bit of what he says. To avoid offending anybody, the school dropped religion altogether and started singing about the weather. He was talking about the program where his kids go to school. They started singing about the weather. At my son's school, they now hold the winter program in February and sing increasingly non-memorable songs such as Winter Wonderland, Frosty the Snowman, and this is a real song he writes, Susie Snowflake. All of which is pretty funny because they live in Miami. He said in his article, a visitor from another planet would assume that children belonged to the Church of Meteorology because they were simply celebrating the weather. It's interesting to me that the U.S. Army, the U.S. Marine Corps, they have now for many years had a program called Toys for Tots, where they ask you to buy a gift for a child and a non-wrapped gift for a child and give to this child a Christmas present. Although they call them Christmas presents, they refrain completely from celebrating Christmas, which seems to be a little bit of a contradiction as far as I'm concerned. But it shouldn't be any surprise to us that the non-Christian culture doesn't recognize the value of Christmas, because sometimes we don't always recognize the value of Christmas either. To culture around us, it's, oh, come, let us make money. Oh, come, let us give generic presents on a generic holiday. Oh, come, let us have generic happiness with generic friends, celebrating nothing that is something. You know, it's nothing. But it's impossible to really understand the full value and fully appreciate what Christmas is all about unless you start to understand the one for whom the season is actually named. We as believers, we have some choices here. Our first choice is to turn our attention to everything that's wrong during the Christmas holiday. We can complain about everybody that doesn't get it, everybody that doesn't celebrate Jesus, and we can boycott stores and stop drinking coffee out of certain coffee cups, and we can picket schools and write letters about Christmas pageants. But then for us, honestly, it would be, oh, come, let us be negative. Oh, come, let us gripe and complain about everybody and point our finger in the face of everyone and tell them why they're so wrong. Oh, come, let us do that. Or we can turn our attention to Jesus Christ, the one for whom the season is named, the one that the season is all about. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate this tradition with joy. We celebrate the meaning of Christmas. And I'm saying that simply because we can't stop doing what we're supposed to do just because people get it wrong. I keep hearing everybody talk about how stressed out they are at Christmas time. And I get that. I understand that on some level. But let me just tell you, when I'm going through the stores, when I'm walking through the mall, and I don't hardly do that much anymore, but when I'm around people and in the stores, I'm not negative about all that I see, honestly. I actually think that what I see is a great reminder for me about what the core, the heart of this, about the wonderful gift of salvation. And that the people that are in the malls, they hear the songs and they're celebrating stuff and they don't fully understand it. They don't understand that before today, before this moment, before this place in culture, that there was a celebration of salvation. That Christ left heaven and came to this earth to bring us salvation and hope and joy. And so when I see many of the displays that I see, I was in Target the other day and I was buying some displays for the Christmas production that's coming up, and they have like a 25-inch star. And I'm like, they have no idea that the star that they're just selling as a Christmas holiday star is about a story. And I could be like everybody else and just be negative. Oh, come, let us be negative and let us be grumpy and complain about. But this is the time of the year for me when, honestly, my eyes start to get really opened to the story of salvation. The story that Christ came to this earth to rescue us, to save us. It's at this time when I'm walking through the store and no one else is paying attention that I'm reminded that Christmas is about Jesus, that he came to this earth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's Christmas to me. That's worth giving presents to me. That's worth singing songs. That's worth having joy to me. And that's the meaning of Christmas. But what about those people that don't understand that meaning? What about those that miss the point, that are making it into something that's really not? I wanted to tell those two guys in the salon the other day when I was getting my hair cut, I wanted to tell them, but I just sat there, and you know what I did? I just prayed. Because I didn't feel led to go over and talk to them, and I didn't feel like, you don't understand what Christmas is really all about. Let me just tell you what it's really all about. It's not about the presents. It's not about the haircut. It's not about any of that kind of thing. It's not Amazon. It's not Walmart. It's about Jesus. Didn't you get the... I didn't feel led to go over and do that. You know what I did? I prayed that their eyes would be open. I prayed that somehow that many of us who even sit in this church today and we'll go through this holiday season and we'll sing songs and we'll do the stuff, but yet our eyes won't even be open to the fact that he came to bring us joy. He came to bring us hope. He came to bring us life. In Rattenburg, Austria, there's a village, this village, Rattenburg, Austria. It sits behind a 3,000-foot-high mountain, and it blocks the sun 3 months out of the year. They get no sun, basically, from November through February, and they sit basically in darkness. And so there's this technology firm that has proposed something to them, and what they've proposed to them is that they would like to build huge mirrors. And they will reflect the sunlight down into the dark valley. Man, when I heard about that, you know what I thought? That's what we Christians are in this world. We're the huge mirrors that reflect the light of God down into the darkness of this world. That's our job at Christmas time. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so I'd like for us to take a few moments today and concentrate. And over these next few weeks, I want us to talk about what we're supposed to do. Not be negative. Not, oh, come let us talk down to everybody. Oh, come let us be superior to everybody. Oh, come let us gripe and complain about how commercialized it is. Rather, how about, oh, come let us adore him. How about if we just adore him? Maybe one of my favorite stories in the Bible, if you know me at all, you know that I love this story. In Luke, the second chapter, there's a story about some shepherds who were sitting in a field. And if you've been here for many years, you've already heard me tell this. If I could go back into history and choose one place to be, it would be this spot on this night. And some people are like, wouldn't you want to be there when Jesus hung on the cross? No, honestly, I watched The Passion of the Christ, and seriously, I'm just glad to know the story. Somebody like, wouldn't you want to have been there when the pilgrims crossed over and had the first thing? No, honestly, seriously, camping out is not for me. It's just, wouldn't you want to have been there when they signed the Declaration? No, I don't need any of that kind of stuff. Wouldn't you want to have been there like when they invented the telephone? I'm like, no, I don't need it. You know what? I would have wanted to be there on this night because there were shepherds out in the field minding their own business. And really, they're the outcasts of their society. They were considered to be unclean. They couldn't really socialize with anybody else. And the Bible tells us in Luke, the second chapter, that out of nowhere, an angel appears and says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then a host of angels, man, could you imagine sitting in the darkness in a field? And then all of a sudden, the Bible says a host, like an army of angels, appear, and they begin to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards all men. And as soon as they disappear, the shepherds say, and listen to this passage here in Luke, the second chapter. It says, in the 15th verse, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has, let us go and see. Let us go and see what they're talking about. Let's find our way to find him. We can sit in the middle of darkness today, and we can sit in the middle of despair, and we can sit in the middle of all the things that are taking place in this world. And we could talk about how Christians seem to be kind of on the outside, and how there's so much gloom and doom. And we could talk about all the things, the tragedy that's taken place all around the world, and the poverty that's taken place all around the world. We can talk about all of those kind of things. Or we could take just this few moments today and say, oh, let's go and see him. For a few moments, can we go and find him? It's the story of the shepherds. It's the story of the wise men. We don't know exactly how many wise men there were, and they really didn't arrive, you know, at the birth of Jesus. But sometime after the birth of Jesus, scholars tell us that they followed a star from the far east, and they showed up where Jesus was. And on their way in, they go to Herod's house, because these were wealthy noblemen. And they go to Herod's house and they say, we're looking, are you ready to listen to this? We're looking for the King of Jews. Do you know where he is? We're searching for him today. We're seeking for him today. We want to find him in the middle of this world. We've seen a sign, and we know that he's here. Will you help us find him? And Herod tries to be deceptive and tells them, yes, I'll help you find them, you know, but I don't know exactly where he is, but when you find him, come back to me. And I love this. I'm going to read it out of Matthew, the second chapter, first and second verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come. Somebody say what they've come to do. We have come to. We've come to worship him. They came not for any other intention, but to see him and worship him. And after they left, in verse number 9, it says, after having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was and the star, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. Hey, listen, if you've heard the message of Jesus and you've come to this Christ, this Savior, you have a reason to rejoice today. You have a reason to rejoice today. And I have to tell you, as a believer, for us to say, you know, like, I don't have any joy in this world. I don't have any peace in this world. I don't have any. You've seen the star, and it's led you to him. And so I'm just going to just challenge you today that maybe what we need to do is open our eyes. Everyone else saw the star. This was not just a star that was disclosed to them. Everyone saw the star, but that star led them to Jesus. The circumstances around you in this world today, the circumstances in the commercialism of Christmas, the star in Target, it should lead us to rejoice in Jesus. Several years ago, I was in the mall. And many of you, if you've been here very long, you've heard me tell this story, so just, I apologize, but I'm not really sorry, because I'm going to tell the story again. I was standing in the mall, went to the mall with some friends, and we went into one of those stores that sells Christmas decorations. You know what I'm talking about, where there's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of trinkets for Christmas trees and you know, and there's snow and there's people screaming and, you know, like women yelling at their husbands who don't care, like, come look at this, I found the, you know, and I mean, and there are children who are unattended, and it just, you know, shows you like, man, they need police in here. And I'm standing in there, and honestly, in the chaos of all of that, my ears heard through all of that sound, playing through the speakers of that store, in the middle of all that chaos, I heard, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And in the middle of that store, I was moved to tears, because behind all of that confusion and behind all of that chaos, if you would just listen, you would hear God and sinners reconciled. But it's only for those who are looking for him. I'd like for you to write this down in your bulletin. Recognize the symbols of Christmas and rejoice in them. Rejoice when you see him. Recognize when you see the star. When you see the star in Macy's, rejoice. It's the star of our Savior. When you see the things that they don't even understand fully what they're celebrating, it's the birth of our Savior. Recognize the symbols. Christmas tree, you know, the reason why, I know that there are a lot of people that have a lot of different opinions, but there's a part of history that says that the reason why we have Christmas trees is because they're evergreen, that they're like the unfailing love of God. It never fades. That wreaths were made so that we would celebrate that we are surrounded by the love of Christ. For some people, it makes no sense to them. But there are symbols all around us. The candy cane. The candy cane is striped to show us the blood of Christ that was shed for us. The symbols of the Savior are all around us. Open up your eyes and allow yourself to see the symbols of our Savior. And let me read this next verse, verse number 11. This is about the wise men coming. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and, somebody say it, they worshiped him. During this Christmas season, here's my second point. If you'll just write this down, remember that we are here to worship him. We're here to worship him. Several years ago, this song was written, and I was reminded of it, and it moved me. Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Listen to these verses. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth. You created all for love's sake, became poor. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And when they found the place where he was, they worshiped him. The world wasn't perfect. Herod had a plot to destroy them. This child was really born into poverty. There was a tax that was being leveled by the Roman government. There were so many negative things. These men were far away from home. And yet, you know what their focus was? To find him in the middle of all of that and worship him. And I would wonder, shouldn't that be, as we who are believers, shouldn't that be our objective? That in the middle of all the chaos, in the middle of all of this world, in the middle of all the negative things in this world, that we should find him and worship him. That's our heart. I'm going to tell one more story about someone in the Bible, and I love this story. In the Old Testament, there was a man who had a promise. His name was Abraham, and that promise was that he would become the father of many, that his children would be like the sands of the sea. And then the Lord comes back and says, your children are going to be like the stars in the sky. And it seems to be kind of crazy, because when he receives this promise, he's almost 100 years old and his wife is 90. I mean, really, seriously, like who would think that would even be a serious promise? But that's what the Lord tells him, that you're going to be the father of many. And to his surprise, sure enough, his wife, she turns up expecting a child. And they name this child Isaac. As Isaac grows up, one day, and he's probably a teenager, maybe a young adult at this point, the Lord speaks to Abraham in Genesis, the 26th chapter, and he says to him, I want you to offer back to me what I've already given to you. This promise that I've given you, this blessing that I've given you, I want you to sacrifice it. I'm going to read this passage because it's just worth us hearing. Now it came to pass, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and listen what Abraham says. Here I am. Then he said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What? Offer this child as a burnt offering? What? Listen to this next verse. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men who were traveling with him, his servants, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and I'm going to go to that place over there and we're going to worship. I'm going to worship to the point it's a sacrifice. That the very thing that I love, the very promise that I think God's given me, the very doorway to my future, the fulfillment of who I am, I'm going to offer that back to God because he's asked for it. And then he says this word, this line, and I love this because it tells of his faith. And we will come back to you. He told him, stay there. There's a reason why I think he told those servants to stay there, is because they had grown up around this boy. They had watched him as a child. They had watched him learn to walk. They had watched him as he started to become a young man. They loved him like family. They had cared for him and nurtured him. And now he knew that if he took them to that place with them, that they would interfere, that they would say, no, you can't offer that. No, you can't give that up. No, you can't do that. That very thing, it's your promise. You can't do that. And he said, you stay here because if you go with us, you will interfere with my worship. I'm wondering today, what interferes with your worship? What is it that you need to leave behind? What is it that you need to leave at this spot? While it might be well-meaning, while it might be something good, what is it that you need to leave here so that you can go to the place that God's calling you to worship? Maybe it's a relationship, and maybe it's some thought process, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's something that you feel like even God's called you to do, but maybe you're going to have to leave it for a while. Leave it where it is so you can go and worship. Maybe you're going to have to leave your lunch plans behind today. Maybe you're going to have to leave your friends behind. Maybe you're going to have to leave football behind for a little while. Maybe you're going to have to set aside some work appointments. Maybe you're going to have to set aside recreation so that you can go yonder to worship. And when he gets to that place, the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And what does he say? Here I am. And he said, don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know, listen to these words, and now I know that you fear the Lord since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God gave him a promise, gave him the desire of his heart, the promise of fathering a child who would become, and now he wants it back. And he says, now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you give up everything for me. The thing that you love the most. Now I know that even the things that I've given to you don't stand between me and you. Now I know that you don't love the stuff I've done for you. The miracles and the signs, the blessings. You don't love those more than you love me. God gives us things. We pray for a job and then we put the job before God. We pray for a house and then we put the house before God. We pray for a relationship and then we put the relationship before God. And the Bible says that he gave it all to the Lord. In verse number 13, I'm going to close out here. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was caught in the thicket a ram by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And now listen to this, verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or what we know, Jehovah Jireh. It was the name of God revealed that God will provide. And he said, on this mount, the Lord has provided. When you really worship God, listen, when you really worship God, you get a new revelation of who God is. Some of you, like, God's a stale old thing. It's the tradition that you do, and Christmas is just kind of the package and the presents. And here's what I'm going to say. It's time for you to really worship God, because in it, you'll find a new revelation that even if you give up something, that he'll provide greater in its place. That if God gives you a miracle and then he asks you to give the miracle back, that ultimately when you do that, listen, he's not going to take away something from you without giving you something greater back in return. Will you trust him? Will you worship him? He says, we will come back to you. Know that God's doing something. What are you going to seek for this Christmas? What are you going to look for this Christmas? Whatever you seek, you'll find, the Bible says in Matthew 7:7. If you seek, you'll find it. If you need a Savior, you'll find a Savior. If you need a strengthener, you'll find a strengthener. If you need a healer, you'll find a healer. Whatever you need, he'll provide that if you'll worship him. So I'm going to challenge you today. Will you follow the example? Will you follow the example of the Magi? Will you follow the example of the shepherds? Will you follow the example of Abraham and worship him? Will you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you came to this earth and gave your life for us. I'm so thankful that our eyes have been opened to see you. I'm so thankful that we know you and you've invited us to come into your holy place, and that you took upon yourself our healing and you took upon yourself our salvation, and you destroyed the work of the enemy so that we could be victorious. You even conquered our greatest enemy, death and hell and the grave, and made us victorious over that. So, Lord, today we pause for these few moments and we say, will you be glorified? Will you be lifted up? We're here to worship you. We're here to adore you. And as we do, as we draw near, will you reveal yourself? I'm going to pray this prayer today, and maybe you're here today and your greatest need is to know the Savior, to invite him to come in. Will you receive this Savior? Will you allow your life to be forever changed by receiving him? And then you'll have a real reason to worship him. Everyone, will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your only Son, that he came to this earth, born in a manger, lived a sinless life, died on a cross to take away my sin. Dear Jesus, I invite you to come in. I ask you to give me the new life that your word promises. I receive your new life today. I lay down anything that separates me from you, and from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer today and you needed to pray that prayer today, so I can pray for you in the days ahead, I'd just love to see your hand right now. Will you just raise your hand if you needed to pray that? Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you just raised your hand, in the seat in front of you is a card that says, I've made a decision to follow Jesus. Will you take a moment and fill out that card? And before you walk out of this place, bring that card down to me or Pastor Jeff. We want to help you get started as you serve him. Amen. We're gonna worship him. Anybody here ready to worship him for a few moments? Let's stand together. Yeah, that's all right. How about if you just do that? Will you just raise your voice for a few moments here and raise your hearts to him? Come on, come on. Somebody, if you have a reason to praise him today, this is the reason. Hallelujah.